All right, and welcome to the Sports Ethos Los Angeles Chargers podcast. Here with Brandon and Shane, as always. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. How are you?
Pretty good. I can't complain.
We have a special show for you today. It's the What We Want mock draft. Let's get it.
Yeah.
This is going to be really, really fun. Basically, the rules of this is what we want. So, in, you know, you don't have to take Caleb Williams number one if you don't want to. You're the GM. Do what you want. Pandemonium. Craziness will ensue. That is the point. We are not going chalk, although I will try to be somewhat realistic. Shane, you don't want to, though.
No. Stick to the rules. Just F it.
Brandon, what's your strategy going into this?
Basically, I know it's the first round, and I know that, you know, I try to think logically, but logic doesn't apply sometimes to the NFL and the draft in real life. So I'm going to try to think of, like, you know, probably best fit out of what's, you know, best available and at certain positions, and then go from there. But also, I also have guys I'm partial towards, so it's going to be kind of a mix of, you know, that, you know, realism mixed with just like F it, let's go with whatever I feel like picking.
I'm using PFF NFL.com to kind of go through each of these just on my computer, just so I have it up. Before we start, though, I want to do like an introduction to this. I was watching Mind the Game with LeBron and JJ Redick before we got on here, and they were talking about kind of the state of college basketball, both men's and women's and things of that nature. So as an introduction, because I know we don't normally talk about college football much during the season, but I think this would be a good time to kind of talk about our feelings on college football, how it's translating to the NFL, where we're at. I know, you know, we got more college football teams in the college football playoff next year. Kind of what is the state of college football, and is it helping the NFL? Is it hurting the NFL? In terms of us as fans of college football, just kind of, again, like, what is the state of college football? Where do we think it's going to go in the next 5-10 years with, you know, even the spring games going on? Where's it going to go this year? Shane, I'll start with you for this. What is the state of college football? Is it in a good place? Is it in a bad place? You can kind of go however you like with sort of your thought process with this, but what do you think the state of college football is right now?
I don't love it right now, I'll be honest. It's, you know, it's changed a lot in the last few years, obviously, and it will continue to. In some ways for the better, but in many ways not so much. I think the main thing for me that comes to mind is just the fact that the NCAA has a big problem of it. Just, it feels like the Wild West because there's nobody in charge. You know, like it's like a wild bee's nest without a beekeeper, right? Like it's just pandemonium. And what I mean by that is, you know, you have all these teams that are just going to different conferences because they feel like it, and it's just totally fine, and like messing with the whole geography of the sport and the regionality of it, and with NIL and transfer portal, it's just made recruiting an absolute nightmare. Because yes, you have to recruit guys to come to your school, but you also have to recruit them to stay there. And you know, like that's more the job now than actually coaching is for these coaches. You know, I'm not against players getting paid for their name, image, and likeness, but it's just, we have to have, I think, a little bit of regulation here because, you know, rookies, but just players in general used to play a lot harder in college and like in the beginning of their NFL careers because they were trying to prove something. But now, I mean, you got college players that are making $10 million a year, so they're just like, eh, well, you know, whatever. And right now, you know, it's not going to matter as much, but I think in the next several years, we're going to start to see the effects of it as the league gets younger, because that's just what it does. I do like the 12-team playoff. That's one thing. I'm like, yeah, I'm with it. Because what's 14? That's not a playoff. Four teams? Come on. Like, what are we doing? Yeah, I like the 12-team playoff. But, you know, other than that, I don't know. I don't love the state of things. And I think a big part of that is because it's too individual. It's not like, you know, they don't have a commissioner. As much as I hate commissioners, you kind of need one, you know? So yeah, either that's kind of my general thoughts, but anyways.
Brandon, what are your thoughts on the state of college football and where it's going?
You know, I, when I think about it, I like, you know, to see where star players go in the transfer portal and things like that. But the more I think about it, the more it's like, you know, college football and college sports in general have always been a business for school. It's how a lot of them bring in a lot of money. It's how the top schools stay the top schools. You know, it's always been a business. But I feel like as we kind of just keep moving forward year after year after year, especially in the modern era, I just don't like where it's going, because it's becoming just like, I don't want to use a political term and say like all gerrymandering and like, you know, kind of moving things around.
It's like, I like that thought, actually. I think you're spot on, actually. I think that's right on the money.
Like it's so hard. It's like it's hard to watch college football sometimes when there's like so many big teams now, and there's so many schools that still have the big names that, you know, it's like there's no such thing as like, I feel like, fairness anymore. There's no such thing as parity. There's no such thing as kind of just like kind of like an equal opportunity to play kind of thing. There's none of that anymore compared to even 10 years ago, let alone 20 or 30. And I still love watching the game. We all still love watching the game. But the problem with it is just it's becoming like almost like a media circus between the NIL, between the you know, kind of state lines being crossed, regions being crossed by certain teams, going to different conferences, you know, coaches leaving left and right to go to different places. You know, it's like everybody wants to make more money, but you're sacrificing the integrity of the game more or less for the money. And I feel like we don't see that just not just in college football, but in a lot of other leagues now. It's become such a big sports in general. It's become such a big business, but even in college sports, it's become such a big business that it feels like we've kind of lost the beauty of the game. And as much as I love, I love the 12-team playoff. That's a good thing. That's one thing they got right. I don't like to see four teams, especially to hear, you know, Florida State complain all freaking, you know, all playoffs long.
And Penn State.
Yeah. And well,
not this year, but just in general. Penn State will find anything to complain about.
Well, yeah, well, that's Philly. That's what they do.
The Florida government saying we're going to sue the playoff committee for not being in the playoff.
Yeah, but nobody wanted to see your third string quarterback play in a bowl like that. Nobody wanted to see that. Like, get out of here. And they probably would have gotten the brakes beat off them anyway. But it's just so hard to have those four teams like that. So it's a good thing maybe they expanded it, and obviously now, because finally I'll see my Ducks make a freaking college football playoff again. But And we were, once again, this was like the third straight year we were so close, and we choked at the end. So, you know, it's whatever. But it's like just the game in general, it's still fun to watch, but it just feels like the more it becomes business centric and the more they try to squeeze dollars out of it and the more players try to squeeze dollars, like, but I feel like these are still kids. Like they're younger than us, which only a lot. Some of them are even our age, still in college, because they're making so much money. That's another thing. They're making so much money in college now. They don't have to go to the NFL or go, you know, or go pro in any other sport. Maybe they're a two sports star, whatever it is, in high school. Like they don't have to worry about that now. And it's, I get them wanting to be paid because it is a high level of sports that only a few can make. Like D1 is a hard thing to excel in any kind of sport, but you got to realize these are 18, 19, 20 year old kids. I mean, a lot of them are older, but especially the younger ones, giving them this much money, I've never been a fan of giving younger people a lot of money, and just because it doesn't lead to good decisions, and it's like, okay, there's an incentive to play now because you can make all this money, but the downside of it is, you know, when, especially like in pro sports, you've seen that when you give somebody so much money, whether it be a coach or a player or whatever it is, the product suffers. Usually the product suffers, not all the time, but usually the product suffers. And, you know, now when you're recruiting all these guys through the transfer portal to come to different schools and to you know, especially these kids out of high school, recruiting them to certain schools with the promises of the NIL deals and all the money and all the commercials and the fame. And it's like, well, what do the little schools have now? Nothing. So, you know, that's why. And you know what's funny? Some of the best games you'll watch of college football are not the bigger schools.
You go on ESPN Plus and you get a good game in the random afternoon.
Oh, you'll get like a Friday night game. You know, cause early on in the season, it'll be like those Friday night games. You'll get like a Friday night game that's like a final score of like 40-37, and it was a great game all the way through. Like, and it's between two schools that are like, you know, it's like, oh, like North Texas State. Like, you know, it's like you're making up, you know, those are good games. I mean, but it's a shame that we just have this kind of like, it's cool to see the big teams really compete against each other and load up and create like super teams. But this is college sports with kids. Like it's, and I know it's a business, but the thing is, the more we get into the business model of things, the more it's just slowly wrecking the game, picking apart the integrity of the game that we love. I wouldn't say I hate it completely, but it is getting worse, and I don't want to be, you know, I hate to be like, you know, grumpy old man shaking fist at cloud, but because, you know, we're only in our early to mid 20s, but at the same time, I just can't help but look at it and be like, I don't like this product right now. I don't like what I'm seeing just on the business standpoint of all this. And it's bleeding into the actual game. So it's going down a bad path. I won't say it's bad. It's totally bad yet. Like, you know, they've made some good decisions in terms of like some player safety rules that they've pioneered and, you know, and expanding the playoff. But in terms of the business side of things, some of the money side of things and where that's leading players and coaches and staff to go, that is a real, that can have real bad consequences if we get further down the line.
Yeah, I like how you guys focused on the NIL portion of this. Obviously, the federal government will have certain things to say about it. Obviously, the NCAA now is considering giving these guys automatic eligibility in the transfer portal for all sports. It's going to change the game dramatically. My focus has honestly kind of been, it's different because I don't really know where to place the NIL stuff at the moment. I think we're still in early days with it. I think it's great. I don't think it's great. I don't think it's bad. I think it's kind of in a okay state because I think we're still kind of in early days with it and how the federal government views to deal with that, how the NCAA views to deal with that. I think we're obviously going to see it dramatically change over the next 5 to 10 years. My problem, I've been watching college football since 2010 because Shane got me into it. I remember, Shane, you used to say that you thought college football was better than the NFL. You had more enjoyment. I assume that has changed for you over the last 10 years, has it?
Yeah, a little bit. Especially lately. Well, I mean, last 2 years are pretty good because my two favorite teams were excellent. But in terms of, you know, like the state of the league or the country, I guess, for football, it's like, yeah.
My problem with it, again, I love to look at things from the TV, the broadcast television side, or even streaming side in this case as well. We're not getting quality games. That's probably been the biggest complaint I've had for it over the last 10 plus years now, is where the quality games in the regular season. Like, why are they at random times? Why aren't we putting more in night games? Like, I like Fox's broadcast team. Why are they doing a game at noon? Why is big noon kickoff a thing? And why is Alabama playing at noon or Texas playing at noon in September when it's 90 degrees outside? Why are we doing that? And then on top of that, it's like, yeah, I think that the change in conferences is going to help the quality of kind of matchups. But again, there's no consistency. Teams can choose whatever they want to do. Alabama can play Citadel. UW can play Montana and pay them $600K and say, hey, come and play with us. Come and, you know, have this FCS school playoff. Well, how does that benefit anybody? I want quality matchups. I want more top 25 matchups of intrigue, not in the middle of the day, but at night when everyone's watching it. And then now we have Friday night games, like clear, important Friday night games, particularly on Fox. Give us some good games there. Don't give us like some sloppy games. I think we need more. We need a more, a lot of people have said this. I'm the only one. Part of having a commissioner in college football is the idea that we have a schedule baseline similar to what the NFL does, where you receive in the division, theoretically winning the Super Bowl, winning the national championship gives you a harder schedule. Doesn't always work. I get it. We complain about this every year, but in theory, that's how it's supposed to work. And again, the time slots. We're having random times for all these games. I want big games at night. I want the lower games during the day. I've always said that. I think that's the right way to go. As for kind of the college football playoff section of this, what is it? 12 teams now. That means more quality games. I love that. ESPN paid $7 billion to have the rights until 2032. I think that just got announced a couple months ago. Officially got announced. We knew about it for like 6 months. But as much as I love the ESPN number one team of Fowler and Herbstreit, I'm not a big fan of sometimes the three or four teams. I'd love to see Joe Klatt and Gus Johnson do a playoff game or the NBC number one team. Like, I want more of that, more of the number one teams doing the bigger playoff games, whether it's a deal with Fox or ESPN or something of that nature. I would love to see more of that. I think the networks still do a good job of getting us prepped for the draft during the season as much as well. I'd love to see more of that. ESPN has so much stake in this sport right now, from getting the SEC from CBS. Now they have pretty much every conference. They need to promote the product more, and they need to do a better job of doing it. I think they do a good job as of now, but I think they can do a lot better promoting the product. And obviously College Game Day is a big part of that, but I still think having more of that is beneficial. I think that we need to kind of revitalize the schedule. I think that's the next step here, is revitalize the regular season schedule. Give us more top 25 games. Give us more interesting games. And also, last thing I'll say, abolish the College Football Playoff Committee. Get rid of it. I love the AP Top 25. I think it is the best and most concrete way to do this over a panel of six or seven people deciding on the playoff. And it makes the AP top 25 not important. I remember when I started watching college football, the BCS was determined by the AP top 25. Mm-hmm. And that affecting that, and they do a much better job because here's people in the Associated Press that the AP says, hey, you cover college football, you're the best of the best at it. You watch every game. That's your job for your network, for your radio station, whatever. You should be allowed to decide the playoff. I've always felt that way. I think having a committee, even for a 12-team, is ridiculous. Also, the bowl games need to change. That is going to change dramatically, whether we're going to have less, whether it's just going to be the New Year's Six Bowls, or maybe have like an NIT-style tournament. I don't freaking know. But the bowl games are going to change. I think you're going to see less of them. I think they're obviously not really important. I think it's fine that they're not important, you know, give these kids an opportunity to play, but I do think we'll see less of that over the course of the next few years. Any final thoughts before we go on to the mock draft?
Well, I think we covered just about everything humanly possible in that segment.
Yeah. I don't know how much more we could have packed into that.
Yeah. I went 5 minutes on television networks. You guys can't tell I'm actually super passionate about that. That's even the case with the NFL. But as we go on to the What We Want mock draft, also we'll be live giving you guys coverage for the NFL draft as well in a couple weeks. Really excited for that. So the order: Brandon has the first pick, Shane has the second pick, and I have the third pick. Correct? Is that what we decided?
Yep.
And then we'll just go in that order. So Brandon has the fourth pick, Shane has the fifth pick, I have the sixth pick. Question about the last pick, we'll do that as a collective. I don't think it'll be super hard to pick who the last player will be, obviously, with the Chiefs and their needs. That's pretty clear. We'll get to that as we go. Brandon, you are officially on the clock in the What We Want mock draft. Again, pick what you want. Go crazy. Have fun. That's the whole point. Just do however you want. But yeah, Brandon, you're on the clock with the Chicago Bears. Oh, if you see no trades. Makes it too complicated. That's our last thing. But you're on the clock. Go ahead.
Yeah. We'll be here all night if we do trades.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to do trades. Screw that.
So, yeah. I mean, for me, I thought about it. I know DJ Moore is there. I would love to put Marvin Harrison Jr. there. And I know Bears fans would love to have him, but they need their quarterback now that Justin Fields isn't there. And I just think if I'm the Bears, that's who I would want anyway. So I mean it's pretty easy. I'm taking Caleb Williams.
Caleb number one. Okay.
Yeah, the athleticism is there. You know, they're gonna give him probably more of a runway than they gave Justin Fields. I think DJ Moore is gonna really help him out. You're giving him a really good receiver, you know, to get the ball to. I mean, it's gonna be growing pains with him, but the athleticism is off the charts. He's more athletic than Justin Fields. So, you know, not speed wise, but definitely throwing the ball at certain arm angles, escaping pressure, all those different things. And the Bears, I mean, they you can't go into the season with what, Tyler Bagent as your quarterback. So, you know, as much as he was, you know, had a couple shiny moments last year, he's not your quarterback. So, it's going to be Caleb Williams, but that's just who I would want anyway, even if I was a Bears GM.
Over Bo Nix.
Yeah. Well, because I think Nix comes later. So, and I love my boy Bo, but I think he comes later.
Okay. That's interesting. Shane, you're on the clock with number two. Washington Commanders.
This is probably going to surprise you too, Robert. I would take, if I were them, I would take Jaden Daniels.
Jaden Daniels at number.
He's not my top guy by any means, but you got to look at what they have offensively, and I think, and you know, what kind of scheme they're going to be running and what kind of personnel they have, et cetera, et cetera. I think he's the one who works best there. you know, that's not a shot at the other guys. It's just a matter of scheme fit. You know, because obviously Cliff Kingsbury likes his mobile quarterbacks and his magicians, and you know, and they're going to need that in Washington, where they have one good receiver and a terrible offensive line. So, yeah, good luck, Jaden or Jaden. Jaden, God.
we're gonna struggle with these names until August or September. All right, anyways, I'm on the clock with New England. I'm gonna take Drake May out of North Carolina. I was thinking other pieces there, but I think Drake May fits a lot of what New England's gonna want to do. Because that long ball is gonna be there. They're never a mobile quarterback. Situation. They've never been that. Even though I would like him to be that, I don't think Jerod Mayo is gonna go away from it. So I don't think it's realistic to put another quarterback there. I've heard that they're not gonna take a quarterback. I've also heard that for a couple other teams as we get through here, but I think Drake May makes the most sense, especially with what you guys did with the first two picks. That makes me more confident in kind of how I feel about Drake May. In terms of what we're doing here. But yeah, I think they will go Drake May if I was a betting man. I hope they take a quarterback. If they don't, I'll be stunned. But yeah, that is my pick. Drake May, New England Patriots. Brandon, you're on the clock. Arizona Cardinals at 4.
So when your current best receiver on the roster is, I believe, Greg Dortch.
I think so, yeah. I think it's Dortch right now.
When that's your best receiver on the roster, you already know where I'm going, baby. Give me MHJ, Marvin Harrison Jr. for the Cardinals. He's my God. I mean, for a team that is starving for a wide receiver and to obviously help Kyler Murray kind of get back to where Kyler Murray used to be, that's the guy you want that can catch every damn thing on the field, that will score like 10,000 touchdowns in a season. That's the guy you're going to want right there for Arizona. That's who I would want if I was Arizona. I mean, the guy is going to be a star, you know, barring injuries. You pray to God this doesn't happen, but it always happens to somebody. But, you know, barring any setbacks, barring any injuries, my God, that is a Hall of Fame talent kid right there. And Arizona desperately needs a wide receiver. So, you know, this guy had 28 touchdowns the past two seasons? Well, actually, he had 29 because he had a rushing touchdown. So the guy almost had 30 TDs in two seasons. So that's just insane. There's not, I mean, you know, it's Ohio State. Ohio State, I mean, I believe their track record of wide receivers is pretty good, from what I remember, at least. So, you know, when it comes to that, Arizona, you're going to get MHJ and you're going to like them. So that's my pick for them.
The only way this doesn't happen is a super insane offer for either one of the top three picks or a super insane offer going to Arizona for that number four pick. That's the only way this doesn't happen. I think that's the most obvious selection in this entire draft.
I believe they wanted three first, I think.
Yeah, they want three first. I know, you know, we have some reservations about him. I get that. I know some of you do. I know Shane does. But I think more than likely this is just going to happen regardless. I don't think there's, other than Caleb Williams, this is the most obvious kind of chalk pick in the draft. Shane, with our pod namesake, gets the Los Angeles Chargers at number 5. Where do you go?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have any reservations about him. I just like Neighbors and Odunze a little bit better.
Yeah, that's completely fair.
And speaking of those guys, the Chargers, they need some weapons because they just got rid of both their receivers. And what are you going to stick with Quentin Johnson, who has olive oil fingers? Yeah, I don't think so. You got Harbaugh. So, you know, you lost somebody who's big and physical like Justin Herbert. So I'd take Odunze here personally. Yeah.
Odunze Neighbors to the is Chargers.
Neighbors is also really good, but he's a little bit more of a like a, you know, quick, speedy type of receiver, which is great. It's just I feel like with Harbaugh's system, I'm gonna want more of that physical edge that you get with Odunze. So that's where I'm going.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Brandon is on the clock with the New York Giants. 15 minutes from your road. What do they take?
No, this is you,
Robert. Is this mine? Oh, this is mine. Oh my God. This is mine. Okay. It is me. You know who you're going to be watching, Brandon, 15 minutes up your road?
Who?
Bo Nix. You're going to be watching him start for the New York Giants. I do not like J.J. McCarthy. I think he fits what they want to do. I think they need a running quarterback. They need a guy who's mobile. They need a guy who can be aggressive but be responsible while being aggressive. Yeah, I think Bo Nix goes 50 minutes up the road from you, Brandon.
Oh, Jerry, you're breaking my heart.
I was not expecting that.
Oh, that's gonna crush my soul. Like, if I have to watch him play and destroy my Philadelphia Eagles, I'm going to be distraught. I'm going to be distraught. Oh, my God. That actually
than him going to the Cowboys.
Oh, no, it's still better than that. But my God, man. Oh, Bo Nix.
He's gone. You can't take him. And he's gone to your worst enemy.
So, well, the worst enemy is the Cowboys.
Second worst. Look, the Giants are going to take a quarterback, regardless of who it is. They're going to take a quarterback. I can guarantee you guys that. That's one. The other thing I'm going to say is I'll make one guarantee from this draft, and the one guarantee is the Giants will take the future of their franchise in this draft. And to me, it should be Bo Nix. My bad. I'm confusing their picks. I'll get going as we go. Wait, Brandon, you're next, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Brandon.
Go ahead after seeing your pride faithful go. Tennessee on the clock.
Yeah. My pride and joy, my sugar plum gumdrop. I think, you know, Tennessee, my God. I mean, they need just everything. But I, in both my mocks, and I think this is where he falls, and we haven't talked about him in recent weeks, but God, does Tennessee need a damn tackle? And so this is Joe Alt. This is Joe Alt.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. I love it.
Because, I mean, my God, you got, I don't care who the, like, I don't care if you have, like, 99 overall scrambling Michael Vick back there. You still need an offensive line. And so yeah, Joel's the best, basically the best damn one in this draft. So that's gotta be Joel for Tennessee.
I like it. I like it a lot. Shane, you're on the clock with the Kirk Cousins led Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah. So, you know, they have a couple needs, not a ton, but a couple. You know, I think most people would look at this and think maybe Dallas Turner or Jared Burse, you know, something like that. And, you know, that's fine, but I think this defense is young and upcoming and overall not too bad. They have some good rushers as is. But, you know, right now I'm looking at their offense and got to get Kirk some weapons. And, I mean, right now they have Drake London and Kyle Pitts, and that's it. I mean, I want more. I want Malik Neighbors. I think he fits in nicely there, and I'm kind of surprised he fell to 8, to be honest. Yeah, that's what I'm taking.
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot. I was thinking about it with my next pick for the Chicago Bears. Let's see, what am I doing here? Let's see what we got.
It's funny, when you're doing a mock draft, it's like...
You have to really think.
You know. Well, no, but what I was going to say is, like, the first few picks, it's like, okay, yeah, then, you know, this is all not expected, but, like, this makes sense. But then there, you get to that one where you're like, whoa, okay, this throws everything off. Your meter was blown next going to New York. Crazy. After that, I was like, whoa, wait.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting Bo Nix there. Yeah, I wasn't expecting. You know who I was expecting there, and we might get to him later. I shouldn't say there, not there, but yeah, I was expecting Bo Nix to fall somewhere in the teens, not go in the top
like five. Denver or something.
Yeah, I was expecting Denver, but
anyways,
but that's, yeah.
Yeah, who are you taking for the Bears at 9, Robert?
I was gonna take Malik Nabers. I'm gonna go Byron Murphy II out of Texas.
I like it.
Need D line help. Okay. I like Xavier Newton as well, but I love what Byron Murphy did in the combine. I think that edges him just a little bit. I was gonna go offense, but the needs don't fit, I guess, the criteria at this moment. So Byron Murphy, what a good draft for the Chicago Bears here. In the first round, obviously with two picks. All right, so Brandon is on the clock. Brandon's on the clock now. I'm starting to get confused, but Brandon's on the clock with the New York Jets. Who is going 15 minutes by your house?
Oh man, you know, the Jets are. Boy, I had a fun one for the Jets because they now, as of today, they technically, if you think about it, I mean, listen, you want to protect Aaron Rodgers this season, so they could go O-line. They can never have enough offensive linemen when it comes to especially first round talents. But my God, like, listen, I do like Tyler Conklin, but you know what? I'm gonna have fun. Give me Brock Bowers to the Jets.
Wow. All right. I like it.
Because I mean, my God, if you know, I know Aaron Rodgers, you know, like quarterbacks will always need a great safety valve. Jalen Hurts has Dallas Goedert. Dak Prescott, I'll go to the NFC. Dak Prescott's got Ferguson. Every decent team that you can think of has at least a somewhat decent tight end or even a good one. Like Lamar Jackson, we've got Mark Andrews. So if you have Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers has played with a couple pretty good tight ends, you know, if you want, you know, to have success, Aaron Rodgers is going to need someone to throw the ball to. I don't think Tyler Conklin's it. So, and Brock Bowers is a physical freak. The guy's a specimen. That should be the tight end. Listen, I would love to have him in Philly, but just so would the other freaking 31 teams. So to me, Brock Bowers to the Jets. That might seem that's big, but it does make sense when you think about it. So that's gonna be fun.
Brandon, is Brock Bowers your favorite non-Oregon prospect in this draft?
Absolutely. And I've said that since what, the beginning of last football season. I was like, I want Brock Bowers so bad on the Eagles, because can you imagine him and Dallas Goedert?
Yeah, it's not likely going to happen though with you being so low, but
yeah, no way.
Yeah, I know. Oh yeah, no, I know, but I'm just saying, like, you know, but Brock Bowers makes sense for the Jets here to me. Listen, I know that they probably, knowing the Jets with how they draft, they're probably going to go O-line, and they probably should because Aaron Rodgers is 40. But
went off an Achilles.
Yeah, exactly, off an Achilles. So, but you know, I want to have fun with Aaron Rodgers. Pause. And you know what? The best way to do that is to give him somebody as insane as Brock Bowers. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's not bad.
It's a good pick. Shane, you're on the clock with Minnesota.
Yeah. You know,
Give me the rest of the board.
I now this is an interesting pick because my gut is to say quarterback. However, there's not a quarterback on this board right now who I think is a great fit for Minnesota. So I'm going to pass on that. I'm going to see what Sam Darnold does this year. See if his year in San Francisco whipped him into shape. I'm not hopeful, but we'll see.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
then, so, but I'm looking at who's available here. They lost, the Vikings lost this edge rusher named Danielle Hunter. Maybe you've heard of him. And he's really good, and now they don't have much of an edge rush. I'm gonna take Dallas Turner since he's fallen this far.
Nice. Like it.
Just to give that defense a little, as well, a little edge, no pun intended. But yeah, that's gonna be my guy.
Yeah, I like the pick. I like it a lot. Denver Broncos. If this guy doesn't go in the top five, hell, he probably will. But if he doesn't go in the top five, he is going to go here. JJ McCarthy, the Denver Broncos. Don't love him. Don't love him at all. But again, I'm trying to be somewhat realistic here, and think that if he doesn't go in the top five, which I think we will see him in the top five, he's going to go here to Denver.
He's totally a Sean Payton quarterback.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's very, very clear. As much as I don't like him, I think that's a very, very clear selection in my book. The LV Raiders for Brandon.
So every mock I've done with this, I can't help, but for some reason I just believe this is the year where just quarterbacks fly off the board, because a lot of teams need quarterbacks this year. And like it's not like a lot of these teams can afford to just take a gap year on a QB. Like, I know Vegas would, I mean, your only quarterback, I mean, what, you're really gonna trust Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew, really? Like, is that what we're doing? Is that what we're gonna give Antonio Pierce, really? That's what we're giving him. I mean, listen, they could pick realistically anything, because they do need quite a bit. But I also want to do this for fun, and I don't think this is going to happen, but I still think it's fun to think about, because he would have, I believe, a couple weapons out there. And of course, if you don't get a quarterback, Devontae Adams is going to flip shit.
But I don't think the Raiders are going to take a QB. I'm just telling you that right now. I don't think they
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, but this is not based in realism,
I'm just
Robert.
saying that right away, that I don't think they are doing it.
I don't think so either. But God, I can't imagine having another year of having Devontae Adams also suffer. So, you know what? For fun, and just because I would be interested to see what it looks like. And I technically, well, not technically, I've heard, bits and pieces. I've heard just rumors floating around the internet that maybe, I don't think it would happen, but maybe the Raiders would consider it. And, the Raiders got a bunch of dogs on that team, so why not take a Husky, Michael Penix Jr.?
Nice. I like the fit. I was waiting for him to maybe go to Seattle here. That's what I thought would happen. But Raiders it is.
That
I still think that's probably where he probably ends up, but I don't know. I for some reason,
I don't.
I think Bo ends up there, honestly.
I don't think either of them do.
You want Gino? Oh no.
I'm not saying I want that. I'm just
I don't
realistically, I
want
don't. I'm no, I'm not saying I
it.
want that. I'm just saying realistically, I don't think they're taking a guy in a high round.
I mean, to be fairly honest, they have Sam Howell, and I like him a lot. I think he's a future starter. So that also is something to keep in mind. But they are doing their due diligence.
Maybe not this year, but
yeah.
But soon.
Yeah, Sam Howell needs a chance. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Shane, are the Saints taking a quarterback here?
They're not. Derek Carr is fine for now.
Yeah.
I agree.
But he could use some offensive line help. So I'm going to take who do I take?
You I got take, plenty of them still to pick from.
Do I take Fashanu or Fuaga?
Believe it or not, those were the guys I had mocked there. So
I'm going Fuaga. I like him a little bit more.
He had a great pro day, by the way. His pro day was great.
Nothing against Fashanu. He's great too, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
Yeah, that's what I would have picked.
Thank you.
Indianapolis Colts. they need receiver help bad. I get that. And I know this guy's been hurt, and I haven't watched a ton of him, but the buzz is good. And I would probably wait this long and take him. Cooper DeJean out of Iowa is going to the Indianapolis Colts. I think if you're sitting there saying, hey, I need help at receiver, I need help at corner, I think you take the best available corner. I know the injuries are concerning, but I like him at this spot. And I wouldn't pass him up at this spot. So Cooper DeJean to Iowa.
Interesting. That's actually really interesting. Because you know what's funny? That was if once you got to Philly, that's who I would have picked.
Yeah, that's another pick that kind of throws things off. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, that's absolutely a Philly pick.
Brandon gets the Seattle Seahawks. What are you bringing to Shane and I sometime?
Oh my God. I mean, well now my train of thought has been derailed because now there's like no quarterbacks left.
Yeah. There's nobody left. Nobody that's first round worthy. I'll say that.
Let me give you guys Leary from Kentucky.
They interviewed Spencer Rattler. If you want to take him there.
God.
Oh, no way. I mean, God. Now I got to really like dig deep in my well because I'm like, damn, what do you guys really need?
The trenches.
Yeah. No, I know, but it's like everybody I wanted to pick for you guys already picked already. Like we've seen Dallas Turner come off the board. We've seen what's his face? But Byron Murphy come off the board. Like you guys need trenches, but it's like everybody I had you guys picking is gone. I don't even know who would even go here.
Pretty obvious personally.
I don't know. Damn. You know, you know who I might like for you guys, just because I think you got knowing
what we're doing, we're trading down. That's what knowing what we're doing, we're trading down.
I mean, I would probably think, but you know who I actually had early on in this draft when me and my friend were doing the mock? We had him pretty early on. And it's a long shot, but it definitely can happen, I think. It's definitely a long shot, but we haven't mentioned him yet. And he was one of the names to watch at the combine. And he was one of the names to watch, you know, by the end of the college football season in general. And if you guys need trenches, I'm thinking more D-line than O-line. And you know who I'm putting on your D-line? I'm putting Jared Verse.
Love it.
I'm putting Jared Verse on your D-line.
I will puke in joy if that happens.
Yeah. He's, no, like he's just another one. He's just another one of those physical freaks. I mean, the guy, I mean, there's a reason why they decided, you know, keep an eye on him. I mean, this year he had 9 sacks. Remember, not, you know, in college football, it's different when you have 9 sacks because you're doing it in a less amount of games. So having, so this is a guy that will probably get you double-digit sack right off the bat. So, I mean, and coming from Florida State, you know, this, he's coming from a very big powerhouse kind of school. So, and you know, I was thinking along the lines of some of the other guys we had picked, but then once they came off the board, I'm like, well, the only guy that I really like for Seattle at that point is probably Jared Verse. So he is a Seattle Seahawk.
Nice. I, Shane, who would you have done for Seattle here?
I was going to say either him or Troy Fatanu.
I was thinking Fatanu. Washington. Yeah.
Either yeah, or.
I think either or is great.
Oh, yeah.
Shane, you're on the clock in Florida now. We go across the country to Jacksonville.
Yeah. Let's see. I think their biggest need is definitely corner. therefore, I'm going to take Terrion Arnold.
All right.
Good pick. We synced up.
But yeah. Yeah, I mean, Bama players outside of quarterbacks, like in the pros, you know what you're getting with them. They're going to be good. They're, you know, they're going to sound weird. They're big, trunky kids and just, you know, good athletes. So, and Saban, I think does a good job of, you know, coaching guys to become good young men. So, yeah, that's what I'm going with.
Cincinnati Bengals for me, I think it's Jazar Newton out of Illinois. I love my Illinois guys. You know, but I he's gotten some buzz over the offseason. I like what he's capable of. I think he fits Cincinnati perfectly there. They need help on that D line. So, Zan Newton, or how do you say his first name, Brandon?
I think it's Jerzon.
Jerzon
Newton. Yeah.
Haven't heard too much about him, but I like him at this spot here. He's not going to fall this far in the actual draft, probably. So I'll take him here.
Yeah, it's funny because yeah, if you didn't take him, that was my pick for the Rams. So, damn.
But yeah, LA Rams, the other LA team. Brandon, what do you do?
Yeah, that was gonna be Jazon Newton because you know, Aaron Donald retired.
Yeah.
so that was gonna be the big boy I was gonna put right in there. But damn, looking at the Rams, you know, you can't replace Aaron Donald, like, but they need somebody there. But man, that Jazon Newton messed me up. You messed me up with that one. So now I gotta like backpedal and think a little bit.
Damn it, Robert.
Yeah, just reset me. I mean, they've got their corners because they've got Tre'Davious White. They even have a good safety. They've got Cameron Curl. So I think in terms of DBs, they're probably okay. I mean, offensive linemen, maybe. I'm just trying to really think because it's funny. If I didn't pick Jared Verse for you guys, I would have picked Jared Verse for the Rams. And if I didn't, but because I picked him for you guys, I was hoping Jazon Newton was going to be there, and he's gone. So once again, both the picks I had right there for that spot are gone. So damn, I now have to really think about where the Rams would pivot because I do think Jazon Newton ends up being a Ram. Actually, damn, and the thing is, they do need defense. They need defensive tackle. They do need, they could go corner, and they could still go edge. So it's good. To me, it's either between corner and edge. And I need to see what I'm looking for. Man, is it tough? Because
I think
now
it's
we
pretty
have.
easy, to be honest.
I don't know. It's for me because, like, you know, Cooper DeJean's off the board. You know, Terron Arnold's off the board. I mean, if you're gonna go corner, what is it? It said that they need a corner and edge. Man, it's tough. I'm actually kind of like really trying to think now. Let me just say real quick about who I'm looking for. I need to do just a little bit of
digging.
Work. Yeah, a little bit of digging for who I'm looking for here. Oh, man. Something keeps telling me that if it's, you know, if it wasn't going to be Drazon Newton, it'd probably be another corner. Because I think you got to pair up somebody with. I mean, I did say their corners are fine, but when I look at their corners, they're not, except for Tre'Davious White.
Rookie corner last year was pretty solid.
Yeah,
but, man. I'm really trying to think of just who is really left that I think can really make a difference there. You know what? Actually, I do actually probably see my ticket out. And, or do I? Because I was thinking about putting him here when I did my mock draft. But I don't know. Man, I know that they really don't have great defensive ends when you think about it. And I just don't see any potential out of those ends. They do need defensive line, especially with Aaron Donald being gone. Because none of those other guys are really that great, despite a lot of them being kind of younger. Kobe Turner's nice.
He's very good.
But you know what? I think they're going to – if it wasn't going to be Drazon Newton, I can see them going edge. And you know who I would actually put this – now, remember, he does have a little bit of an injury kind of history. But I hope I'm pronouncing his name right, if I can find him. God, how do I pronounce
UCLA it? Guy?
Yeah, Latu.
Yeah, Latu. I think that makes a lot of sense. Latu staying in California. That's probably what I would have done, Shane.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah. Pittsburgh Steelers with their new quarterback Russell Wilson. On the clock for you, Shane. As sad as that is to say.
Well, since he's still available, I'm taking the man out of Penn State, Fashanu.
Nice.
You know, might as well. You got to build up that line a little bit. He's a good place to go. I don't imagine he'll fall this far, but he's here now, so I'm taking him. Screw it.
You know what? This, as much as I think realistically, I think the Cowboys are going to take this kid. I think the Chiefs are going to take this kid. But if I'm Miami and I'm thinking about what my offensive philosophy is, I would highly consider it. And I don't know if they've interviewed him yet. I definitely would. For the Miami Dolphins, I'm going Xavier Worthy out of Texas. With the 21st overall pick. I think realistically he will be in Kansas City, that I think is his best fit. But if not, I think he goes here. I think that Miami needs a slot receiver. Give Tua some more help. Why not? They have bigger needs, but sometimes it's best available for your roster in terms of speed. This is a speed demon, Nick Xavier Worthy. He's also a really good route runner. I like what he does in the route tree, and he's in a perfect spot to develop that. In Miami. Brandon, your Philadelphia Eagles, we gave you this for a reason. Go for it.
Now, you bursted my Cooper DeJean bubble. and because I was so prepared to say welcome to Philly Cooper DeJohn. But
it's not happening. It's not happening. Yeah, not, I know. Not in this one.
I was so prepared to get all hype for Coop, but there are, I still think we go corner, and there are still two very good ones on this board.
Who shouldn't last this long in the real draft, by the way.
Exactly. There are two corners, and I've been back and forth on them along with Coop. I've been back and forth on these three guys, but the two of them that I have to pick from now because Coop's gone, I was in between two guys. But I know that Philly just – I know they want a difference maker, and I know that both schools we've had successes from in the past. Obviously, one is from Clemson, and one is from Alabama.
No Mitchell. Okay.
No, I'm not taking Quinyon Mitchell for Philly. I listen, I do, while I do think he could still go there, and I do like him, it's Toledo. I'm scared with somebody out of Toledo. I'd rather take the guy that's played bigger teams and better opponents. And both Nate Wiggins and Kool-Aid McKinstry have done that. And both these guys are a little scary because they got injured. I think at the combine, right? Didn't both of them get injured? Kool-Aid?
Yeah, Kool-Aid wasn't allowed to participate due to medical testing.
Yeah.
And Nate Wiggins just popped his hammy after running a 4.26.
Yeah, but he says he's fine.
Yeah.
So it won't affect him this season. But, you know, as a corner, I get weary of, you know, I don't want someone pop, because remember, we took Sidney Jones, who, if you remember, tore his ACL at his pro day.
Yeah.
So, and I thought Sidney Jones was great, but then he slid down the board because of that, and we took him, and he wasn't bad, but then he was never healthy from that point on. So I get weary with guys that have injuries to their legs, especially at corner, obviously. So, I mean, both these guys did, but I'm just going to pick the guy that I wanted first initially, because even though I think that really any of those three guys, Mitchell, Wiggins, and Kool-Aid can go there, but the guy I wanted initially and the guy that I probably still want out of those three is Kool-Aid McKinstry. So, Kool-Aid for Philly.
All right. Minnesota Vikings, yeah, Shane. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Man, it's a lot of directions you could go here. I think I'm going to take the other corner there, Wiggins.
All right.
Because they need a lot of defensive help. The Vikings. And yeah, I mean, he's there. He's available. I don't see why not.
Dallas Cowboys. I could be stupid, but I'm not. Give me my my personal favorite corner in this draft in Keon Mitchell. I like his speed. I like his aggressiveness. I like what he did out of Toledo. We're going three corners in a row. I could be dumb for the Cowboys like they always are, but I think you take the clear best available in Keon Mitchell when he's lasting that far. Which, again, I don't think is realistic for any of these three guys, but a run on corners, Keon Mitchell, yeah, to the Dallas Cowboys. I just don't think – I think if you're Dallas and you fluff this up, as much as I think they will, I don't think you can with Keon Mitchell there. I would feel disgusted not taking him there. So, Brandon, you're on the clock in Green Bay.
Even though you already have two good corners.
Yeah, three. Give him a third one. Yeah. Give him a third one. It's great. And you can maybe move them up to safety if you need. You can move one of them up.
Yeah. When it comes to Green Bay, coming off the season that Jordan Love just had, I would think you'd want to protect them even more. I think now
especially you're losing Buck.
What?
Especially after losing Buck.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just think you can't go wrong with really picking anything along the offensive line. This is where I could see, believe it or not, this is where I could see another Oregon guy go. I could see Jackson Powers Johnson going here, but I'm not going to pick him. I could see, you know, I'm thinking that they stick with tackle just because of losing Bach. And you know who I'm picking, and we haven't talked about him, but he was pretty damn good last year. And I'm sticking with the Alabama theme. Give me J.C. Latham for the Packers.
All right. I like it. I think he fits the Packers well.
Yeah, he's also just massive. He's like, what, 6'7", 360, something like that? He's just massive. So I like him a lot.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Shane.
Well, I will take that Oregon duck you passed on, Jackson Powers Johnson.
I like it. Mm-hmm.
Because they, you know, ever since Ryan Jensen retired, center has been a revolving door for Tampa. And, you know, now that you got Baker there, you might as well give him some extra protection because he's not like the most mobile guy ever. So, yeah, I'll take him.
I think Troy Fondue out of Washington has lasted too long. Keep him in the West Coast. Keep him in Arizona.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, I don't think he lasts this long either. Most of these guys won't last this long. Buffalo Bills, are they going receiver, Brandon?
My God,
I certainly hope so.
But the Buffalo Bills need, like, you know, 10,000 things. God, and you know, like, there's a lot of guys I like here. And I think, how many receivers that came off the board? Refresh your memory real quick. How many receivers did I have?
How many receivers went off the board here?
MHJ.
MHJ, Odunze went after him. Malik Nabers at 8. And then we didn't, and then 21, Xavier Worthy.
Yeah.
Oh, only 4.
God, that's crazy. It's only 4. That seems a little light.
Yeah.
Kinda.
It's hard. But yeah, you know who I'm probably gonna put here because I've been flip flopping on 2 guys, and I'll tell you the second one after I reveal my actual pick. I'll do it the other way. The first guy I had a thought of here was Adonai Mitchell. But the guy I think I'm putting here, because this is having the last guy on this board that really had an electric season last year. And I think it's pretty simple. Give me Brian Thomas Jr.
I like it.
Yeah.
Do you guys mind if we do 31 and 32 as a collective, just so we don't give people extra picks?
All right.
Shane, you're up with the Detroit Lions.
Yeah. Well, let's see. I think their biggest need is corner or... Well, your corner. but there's not really one right here that I'm like that crazy about. So, you know, I'm just gonna say screw it and give Aiden Hutchinson some help in the trenches. Just make the blitz a little bit more of a nightmare and give me Robinson out of Penn State.
Nice. Chop
Robinson.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I mean, you can never have too many pass rushers, you know?
Yeah, I really like him a lot. That's a cool one. I like that pick. Do you think Chop lasts this long, guys?
Yeah. Maybe.
I, I think he's late first, early second.
Yeah. He could definitely be a superstar, though, to be honest, in my opinion, after what he's done in the offseason. He could certainly be a late bloomer superstar. I'm going to go with one of my favorite guys in the combine, Peyton Wilson, North Carolina State. They develop linebackers perfectly. It would be an amazing fit. I don't think they go receiver here. Again, if anything, I think they would take Xavier Worthy here, but again, he's not available per this exercise, as I already took him in Miami. Peyton Wilson, North Carolina State, to the Baltimore Ravens. Niners and Chiefs on the clock. As a collective, who do you think the Niners would take here? I mostly will let you two do this, Brandon and Shane, but go for it. What's your conversation in the war room?
I think you got to take Mims.
Yeah, I would think
so. The right side, that's their one weakness, is the right side of the offensive line. Yeah. It's atrocious.
Yeah, I was thinking O-line. I was thinking O-line too, and it's funny because when Mims hasn't come off the board yet, and I thought he was going to come off the board somewhere in the 20s, and that's where my friend who was a Steelers fan, he said that he could see Mims going to Pittsburgh. So I definitely can see, Mims being a Niner. They need to build that line because that line is their weakest part of that team. So I'm fine with that. I like Amarius Mims there.
Amarius Mims out of Georgia goes to the San Francisco 49ers. And we finish off with the champs, the Kansas City Chiefs. They have needs at receiver. Do you guys go there or do you go somewhere else? Especially especially with where Rashid Rice is currently.
Yeah, he'll be in jail.
the all prison team right there, him and Henry Ruggs, baby.
Oh. they like to keep him in the AFC West. So hey. It's their fault for being dumb.
I mean, this is if I'm thinking of them, like maybe Adonai Mitchell or maybe even Troy Franklin. Like one of those two guys.
Yeah. Maybe. I was going to say probably, I feel like they'd probably go Mitchell or Keon Coleman.
Yeah, Keon would be interesting.
Yeah, you know what's funny? I don't know why I forgot about it. He was the one that impressed me the most at the combine.
Yeah.
So, ooh. Damn. Keon Coleman does settle. Yeah. Let me think about it. Hold on. I'm just thinking of... I mean, Keon Coleman's a big body because he's 6'4". I mean, what? I mean, the Chiefs, Tyreek Hill... Not big. Both these guys are big though. Mitchell and Coleman are big.
Yeah.
Damn, that's really tough. Man, you know what? I think I'm leaning Mitchell though. I think so too. Mitchell's faster, isn't he?
Yeah.
So, listen, they like their speed guys. Rice is pretty fast. I mean, Tyreek Hill, obviously, we know what Tyreek Hill was. They like guys that have speed. So, you know what? I think that is Adonai Mitchell.
Yeah, Adonai Mitchell it is for the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's see how PFF grades this, if it will load.
Probably terrible.
Probably really bad. While I'm waiting for that, if it does load, let's see what we got here. I didn't even grade it. They just said, oh, okay, here's the mock or whatever. So,
well, that's silly.
But either way, what's your guys' overall thoughts on the mock draft that we completed there? Any surprises, anything that kind of shocked you guys?
A lot of surprises, especially from you.
Yeah.
But that's what makes it fun. I mean,
that's the point of this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, overall, though, I think most of the picks even if not expected, like, it made sense, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like doing this. It's fun.
Brandon, what do you think of your first time doing this?
You know, when I think about it, I kind of like, not gonna lie, when I did the mock stuff with my friend, and we did two different kinds of mocks, right? We did one that we think was gonna happen, and one that was just like, hey, let's have fun with it. And honestly, I think our mock is probably, especially as we get closer now, I think it's probably the closest one I could see happening. It's I don't think, like, I mean, yeah, there's a couple surprises. I think, you screwing me out of coop hurt, but, you know.
The one that shocked me most was Xavier Worthy to Miami.
Yeah, that, because you know why? Because I think if he didn't end up there, he was probably going to be a Chief or a Bill.
Yeah.
Or a Raven.
Or Raven. So, you know, that kind of shook things up. But there's always going to be ones where it's like, you know what? I think this guy could go there, but, yeah, I don't think Quinion Mitchell lasts as long as we had him. I know I could have brought him to Philly, but I know Philly has the most interest in him and Kool-Aid. Wiggins is kind of like the dark horse of the three for Philly, but I think Philly has met with both of them. So I wouldn't be mad if I just took Kool-Aid because I like Kool-Aid more. I just like the bigger. I like the brand name, guys. I just do.
Yeah.
But
brand name.
You know, well, Kool-Aid. Funny.
No, I know. I'm laughing because it's true.
Yeah. But
if you know, God. You know, guys. If you know, you know.
Yeah. I really hope that everybody listening knows where that's from.
Can everyone stop saying that, or the Kool-Aid man stops breaking through the wall?
Oh, God. All I can think about is Stewie taking out the Kool-Aid man with the baseball.
Yes.
But yeah, that was so good. But
I have a pretty good impersonation of him.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that. In terms of the mock, yeah, I don't think there was many surprises, although the surprises were very surprising. But I think we're pretty close to what I could see happening. I do think all the guys we picked are all pretty good fits for their teams. I don't think there's anybody here where you can really like scratch your head and be like, huh? Like the only one where I just wanted to have fun with it was the Raiders. I wanted to have fun and just put Penix there, even though that's probably not going to happen. But that's probably the only one where I'm just like, hey, you know what? I wanted to have a little bit of fun there. But other than him, really, I think we're pretty accurate on who goes where. Bo Nix as a Giant would obliterate my soul. I'm very concerned that that might actually end up happening. And if that does, I mean, listen, I hope they take JJ McCarthy.
No way in hell.
No way it's going to happen. I'm telling you, no way.
Yeah. I want them to take JJ because I want to keep beating the Giants every single year, twice a year. Well, no, it didn't happen this year, but this year's an anomaly. Like, Giants fans were celebrating after they beat us. I'm like, yeah, bro, congrats on your first win against the Eagles in 15 years. So, you know, have fun with that. But, I do still think they take JJ. Hell, I could even see JJ, and it's funny, I could even see JJ going, and it's crazy because we've said it on this show before, I can see JJ even going to Washington.
I gotta be honest, I think he's going to the top five. I don't think there's a way he doesn't. As much as I won't like it, it's gonna happen.
That's insane though, to say that JJ McCarthy's a top five quarterback, really?
Top five player in this draft is what you're saying.
Yeah, not even quarterback, just player.
Like, that's, oh my God. Well, you know what I meant, but top five player. But it's like, I just can't see how this kid rose up the boards.
Dude, I can't see it either.
An awful combine. His combine was awful.
It was terrible. We watched it. You can watch it on air.
Like
on sportsethos.com in our Spotify.
Yeah, and they're like, oh yeah, he has a good deep ball. I'm like, yeah, but it was still inaccurate. Like, what are you talking about? He couldn't, like, these guys are open. They're playing not even in pads. They're in shorts and a t-shirt. Like, how can he not hit this?
In a dome.
Yeah, in a dome. There's no weather affecting your throw. Like, he can't hit a simple 10-yard out route. That's concerning. Like, Jesus, man. Like, even I can hit that. I've done it on a field with my friend 1,000 times. And I'm not even close to being an NFL quarterback. And I can hit that throw.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but no, but I think overall, I just think our mock was really good. I have no complaints about the mock, really.
Other than that, let's finish up with X-Men First Class, one of my favorite X-Men movies, if not my personal favorite X-Men movie. Brandon, what were your thoughts on watching the film?
Oh man, it's probably out of the three movies that we've watched so far, I think that that's probably the best one. And I love the first two movies. Yeah, I love the original series. First Class is just, there's so many like little slight nods to the series in it that I really like. And I mean, we can spoil it because it's like, if you haven't seen it by now, what are you doing? And it's, you know, the Wolverine cameo is funny.
So great.
So that kind of just makes the movie even better. First Class is also, that's where one of the most iconic memes of all time is the perfection meme with Michael Fassbender. That's where it comes from. I didn't realize that at first. And then I saw it, I'm like, oh my God, this is where it happens. That's great. I do like that, really, for the first time in the movie, you get to see how the characters end up. Well, obviously, it is an origin story coming to be. James McAvoy was fantastic in this. He's good at pretty much everything he does.
He's so underrated.
He's extremely underrated. I don't understand why people kind of leave him off of like the best of like the modern actors, because I'm like, nah, this guy's really freaking good. This movie is just like, it's so good. Michael Fassbender as Magneto. I like Michael Fassbender too. I know people have kind of like mixed feelings on him. I like him. I've heard, you know, different things, but that I like him a lot. Kevin Bacon is both funny and sinister in this movie. I like Kevin Bacon's Sebastian Shaw. It's just, I'm just trying to think of like, you know, because it's been a while since I watched it, because we kind of got delayed on it, so it's been a little bit since a week and a half ago that I watched it. But
yeah, we're gonna get back on track next week with Days of Future Past next week.
Yeah. So. But you know, there's not much, you know, getting also just the whole origin story of like getting the mutants to embrace their powers. Like, this is the first time we see that, obviously, because in the X-Men comics, it's just kind of just, and even in the, you know, the first two movies, it's just well known of like, hey, this is who they are, these are their powers, these are their abilities, all things like that. But like to see it done in such a way that that it's, there's also emotion behind it. I mean, there's all great actors. Just like in the first movie, there's a lot of, you know, emotion for a superhero movie. This movie, just the actors are all great. I mean, man, hell. I went nuts because, you know, obviously when you see My favorite character of all the X-Men is still Beast.
Yes.
So
you're gonna like him in Days of Future Past. He's got some great scenes in that movie.
Yeah, I've seen some clips of it. Because they show it on like FX all the time. Yeah. But Nicholas Holt's great in that. Nicholas Holt to me is another, like, all these actors, if they're not underrated, then they're all just really great. For some reason, when it comes to Marvel just knows how to pick pretty good actors, at least early on. Not today's Marvel, but back then, they really knew how to get the most out of their cast and pick really good and also just very comically accurate actors. So, I didn't recognize her at first because she's so young, but I didn't recognize that Zoe Kravitz plays Angel.
That is right. She does. Yeah.
She's so young that I didn't even recognize her. And I was like, she looks like Zoe Kravitz. And I was like, oh, she is Zoe Kravitz. You know, with her, I kind of have a hit or miss thing with her, but she's still, but to this extent, I think she was really good in this one. I just think in general that this movie was just such a great origin story. And you know, it's you know, a lot of these kinds of movies are cliche where you have like a superhero origin story or like some sort of, you know, big character origin story for a lot of famous franchises and things like that. You get a lot of those, but this one, just like I think I said with the other two X-Men movies, it's just the emotion from the X-Men movies is really cool because they get to kind of be, it's the one where it's like, okay, yeah, like these guys are a bunch of outcasts, but they're embracing it. It's like a superhero very rarely shows their flaws. Or at least tries to hide them the best they can. Like in these movies, they embrace the flaws of their heroes. And that's one thing I really like about the X-Men in general is that nobody's perfect, not even superheroes, not even mutants. Obviously they're not perfect. Obviously we know why. So it's just one of those things where I look at this kind of movie and I mean, there's so much to love about this. You get to see, you know, Professor X and Magneto's relationship over time, how it develops and how it changes. And honestly, this is like the X-Men have always been kind of political and philosophical. This one, there is a lot of philosophical kind of questions in this one. Like, you know, who's right, you know, man or mutant, the schools of thought between Professor X and Magneto. You know, before they, became who they were, like when they just used their regular names and were just two kind of friends, you know, their two schools of thought colliding with each other. I even read here that McAvoy himself actually said this about the characters of Xavier and Magneto and compared them to MLK and Malcolm X.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like that.
And
I've seen that.
And I was like, I didn't see it at first. I'm like, oh, wait, no, I do really see it. I was like, the more I watched the movie, I was like, oh, you know what? I do see that a lot. So, honestly, what did I give X-Men and what did I give X2?
I think 7 and 8, respectively.
7 or 8, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a little bit higher. It's not going to be a 9, but I'm thinking 8.5 out of 10 for me.
Yeah, I like it. Shane, your thoughts on First Class?
Yeah, I think, you know, when you look at, I mean, I hate to, like, compare X-Men to the MCU, but when you look at the X-Men movies, obviously they're less popular than the MCU, because, you know, the MCU, it's a bigger universe, it's a lot more fun, it's, you know, it's just, it has the more entertaining heroes, right? It's, you know. But X-Men, particularly this movie, X2, and Days of Future Past, like Brandon said, they're a lot deeper. They have a lot more to say, and you know, kind of relating something that something like this, which is so foreign and otherworldly, relating it to real life and, you know, like how it would get, how it would realistically play out in our world. And yeah, you know, stuff like the parallels between MLK and Malcolm X, I think is really genius. And, you know, by the time they're older, we know that they're friends at Professor X and Magneto, but, you know, it's like, well, how did they get here though? Because obviously they weren't in the past. Right. And yeah. So I like seeing kind of how that all started. And just like, I just think Magneto is a very interesting character just because of his background. And you know, he has a pretty tragic backstory. And I think just seeing how that continues to affect him as he goes on in life, it's interesting. And how it kind of influences certain choices he makes. We'll say that. And I think, you know, more than anything, this movie, along with Days of Future Past, do a really great job of creating tense moments, creating tension just in general, where, you know, you're kind of like, it's just, there's a lot of really gray areas and, you know, characters having to make difficult decisions in times of crisis or just in general, you know, like thinking about the world as a whole long term. You know, it's a lot of these themes and ideas, and they execute them all pretty well. I think this is of the X-Men movies, not necessarily all the movies in this universe, but just with the title X-Men, this one's either my second or third favorite. It's between this and X2. I mean, they're pretty even for me, but even though they're quite different. I really, really dig this movie. The first time I saw it, I didn't care for it as much because I was kind of young, so I didn't really understand the deeper meanings. But then when I rewatched it, when I was, I want to say 19, I was like, oh yeah. Okay. I see. Anyways, so now I'm definitely a fan, but, really, really, really good movie. I'd also probably give it like 8.5. Yeah.
I really enjoyed this movie, clearly. Backstory for me, I did Deadpool 2, then Days of Future Past, then I went back and watched it. Obviously, really weird to do it that way, but that's how I did it. Yeah, just really weird way. But that being said, my favorite movie is First Class. And actually, the first time around watching it, the playful moments is kind of what got me a little bit. I was like, Jennifer Lawrence being like, oh, you're Professor X and you're Magneto. And they're like, oh, and then they kind of like get in their names. Obviously, the story of Beast kind of gets explored a bit more as we kind of go through this old generation, or, you know, the I guess the younger generation of these mutants. But I really enjoy Beast. I really enjoy how he becomes Beast later in the movie, and it's this really horrific scene. There's so much I love about just the little things in this movie. I will get back to the why Professor X is in a wheelchair next week, because it's an interesting kind of continuity change. We'll get to that next week, though. Next week I'll start talking about how the timeline is fucked. But that being said,
It's not that bad.
No, it is bad. I hate it. What they? We'll talk about it more. It's terrible.
Everybody talks about how confusing it is. I don't think it's that difficult.
It's not difficult. It's just dumb.
No, it is. But
It's not difficult. It's dumb. That's my point. Anyway, other things I noticed on a second watch. Another thing. This being set, like Cuban Missile Crisis, Cold War, is so perfect. It's such a great backdrop for it.
It's so great.
It's a great sort of intertwining. I do love how minus X-Men Origins Wolverine, I guess, just the war aspect and how they add mutants into that, and it fits so well. Some great history behind this movie. A lot of the beginning aspects of the first act, Magneto's story, was originally going to be an X-Men Origins Magneto. Obviously, it didn't come to light because X-Men Origins Wolverine was so awful. But they did do that. I like Matthew Vaughn more as a director than Bryan Singer for this universe. I think he fits this perfectly. Jennifer Lawrence hates these movies, especially towards the end. I wish the casting was different. I just don't think this fits as a Jennifer Lawrence movie. That's probably the only casting I didn't like. I wasn't.
Yes, same.
As much as the first, I was like, Kevin Bacon, why is he the villain? And first watch, second watch, I was like, oh yeah, no, this is great. He's excellent as Sebastian Shaw. He's really well done. Obviously, the coin scene, I understand it, but like putting a coin through a guy's head and killing him is just weird to me. So bizarre. The X-Men suits are great. This is probably the best just team-based suits of the film just because it has color and it has some pizzazz. The training scenes are great. Listen to the soundtrack when I go to the gym, actually. The X-Men training scene. Just great, great soundtrack all around in this movie.
I'm with it.
Really enjoy it. It pulls the submarine at the end. Great. Excellent. And I don't know. I just love how this movie flows as well, per scene to scene. It has the 90s X-Men aesthetic that can kind of get a little bit annoying. But in this movie, it's actually done really well, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed those aspects of it. I think for, what is it, 2011 and 2014 are the 2 years this movie came out. They kind of steered away from it a little bit, which I like. And then I think the more stuff that I'm going to say about First Class, we're going to get to next week with Days of Future Past, because there's so many really nice sort of connective tissues between the two movies. Like, I don't think you can watch First Class without Days of Future Past. It doesn't make sense. There's so many great connective tissues. But yeah, it's a great film. It's my favorite of I love the story between the two. I love the castings regardless of Jennifer Lawrence, but I think the plot points are great. Again, I think the flow of this movie is great. I love Cerebro being used to find other mutants, as it should be. I like the idea that Beast created it and then Professor X is able to use it in that way. Speaking of that, Shane, what's the story behind Wolverine saying "Go fuck yourself" in the bar? Because the story is fantastic, and you've always told me the story. It's one of my favorite stories in all of Hollywood.
Yeah. So they asked Hugh if he would be open to doing this post-credit scene, and yeah, they kind of pitch it to him and. He said, all right, I'll do it on two conditions. They said, okay, sure. And he said, I want the money that I make for it to just go straight into, to be donated right to schools, a local school. I think it may have been his daughter's school. Anyways.
Yeah. And it's just, was it pitched as a post-credit scene or was it pitched as like a just a random scene?
Oh, yeah, post-credit scene. I believe so. But anyways, so yeah, so she was like, okay, I want all my payment to be donated to the school. And they were like, okay, sure. And yeah, great, obviously. And what's the other one? He said, I want my one line to be, yeah.
Don't fuck yourself.
Yeah.
And, we're allowed to say that.
And they were like, no, I know. It's just funny. Because, you know, in a PG-13, you are allowed
one F word.
I believe two F word. No, I think two if they're not used in a sexual context. So, but anyways, so they were like, okay. And that was it. So,
and then they decided to build that scene out of it. It's so good. And they do again,
but it's
reference it in Days of Future Past too. It's an excellent reference, and we'll get to it.
But you know, the thing is, though, it's funny, but like it works so well for the character.
Yeah,
it's perfect. I mean, that's someplace you would find Wolverine. Yeah, smoking a cigar at a bar and telling you, you know, f off, and like that's very accurate.
Honestly, I mean, as much as the movie is great, they could have just played that one 15-second clip and then just rolled credits.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really excited for Days of Future Past this week. I'm giving this a 9. Freaking love this movie. It's so good. Also, I remember when I first watched First Class, and it's the end, and they're taking off Emma Frost, and Magneto's like, I am Magneto, and he has the freaking mask on. I fucking cheered. I was like, yeah! Because I was like, yes, this is awesome. And then, of course, understanding what happens in Days of Future Past. But yeah, for me, it's a 9. It's such a good movie. There's a reason we skipped X-Men Origins Wolverine. Is that the only one we skipped? I think.
And so Last Stand.
Oh, yeah, freaking.
Yeah, Last Stand.
Yeah.
But it's garbage. Yeah,
but yeah, Last Stand completely just like screwed up the first two movies royally.
Yeah.
So.
So over the next week, we're gonna do. We're going in order, and the order is. Let's see. The order is. So we're going Days of Future Past. Then we're going Deadpool 1.
Yes.
Then we Then we are going Logan. And you'll understand the reason why we're doing Logan first. And then we're doing Deadpool 2. That's how we're finishing this off. And then after that, if we have some extra time, probably for the last week for Deadpool 2, I'll have you guys watch, I think, the first couple episodes of the new X-Men 97 series, and we'll kind of add that in.
Wait. I have a question.
Yes.
Can we do Logan after Days of Future Past? That way there's not like a movie break between the Wolverine story. Just go from that to Logan and then Deadpool. Because like...
But you know why.
Putting a really depressing... No, hold on. Yes, I know why. But putting a really depressing Western movie off of a character from two movies ago in the middle of Deadpool, it's just weird.
Yeah, but then the scene doesn't make sense.
What scene?
What do you mean? The scene in Deadpool 2?
Yeah, which one?
When he makes... Damn it, I don't want to spoil it. Fuck.
Oh, the post-credit scene?
No, not the post-credit scene. The joke. Oh,
man.
The joke?
Yes, the joke. It spoils the joke. It's at the beginning of the movie about Wolverine and Deadpool 2. And it royally spoils the joke. And the
I know.
Yeah, why do you want to spoil the joke?
How does that spoil the joke?
I guess it actually doesn't spoil the joke. It actually makes the joke...
No, it doesn't at all.
My God, you just had a eureka moment. What the hell was that?
Well, I mean, the reason why is because... So,
So stop yelling at me.
Okay, wait, but I was okay. I was gonna make a. Actually, you know what? Fine, I'll accept it. Because I was thinking, does it actually spoil the joke? It does not. I guess it kind of makes the joke better.
No.
But then, yeah. Okay, but then it ruins the joke in Deadpool 1.
Which one?
Oh my god!
Does it? Does it actually ruin it? It kind of does.
No, it does not.
Brandon, what's your verdict? Does it ruin the joke in the first one?
I mean, the thing is if we're like, no matter how we do these movies, everybody has seen them by now. Everybody understands what they're about. Everybody, unless you live under a rock and haven't watched. So, like, I don't think it really spoils anything because it's become common knowledge. It's become almost like public domain at this point of like these movies.
I don't know. I just don't want to ruin the thing is, my concern is ruining the Deadpool jokes. Because they're such good jokes.
Everybody knows the jokes already. So it's like if everybody knows them already, you can't ruin a joke that everybody knows.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, fine. Fine. So we're gonna do Days of Future Past, then Logan, then the two Deadpool films.
Because I'm not looking at spoiling one joke that lasts 5 seconds. I'm looking at the flow of the story over multiple hours.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah. And I kind of get that too.
It doesn't ruin any jokes either. I mean,
actually, to be fair, it doesn't really ruin any of the jokes that I think about it. It maybe enhances them a little bit. My whole thing is I'm sorry to have a crazy moment here, but I love those jokes. Those jokes are like a huge part of the two Deadpool movies for me. Like once I understood them, I was like, oh, I love these jokes. So
yeah, it's good to have all the Wolverine stuff out of the way first that we all know.
Yeah, so then you understand where it comes from first.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and then there's some Deadpool-based things in Logan that I want to talk about, and that's more just the R-rating stuff, but we can get to that more fully in Deadpool.
Can't wait, because I've seen bits and pieces of, well, before we watched First Class, I saw bits and pieces of First Class, and I saw bits and pieces of Days of Future Past, just in passing, but I've seen Logan, like, 2 or 3 times, and I've seen the Deadpools like 20 times over.
Wait, so you're telling me you haven't watched Days of Future Past in full?
No.
Oh, you're in for a treat.
Yeah, I know. That's why I
was absolute treat.
That's why I was excited to do the earlier movies, because I was like, I haven't watched any of them in full. Even though I love the X-Men, I haven't watched any of them in full. So it was just like, nice, we're doing this now. Like, I'm excited to do the Deadpools and Wolverine and the Deadpools and Logan, because those are the ones. It's like I can really talk about those. Those movies were I snuck in to see the first damn Deadpool because I didn't have a driver's license yet. So
yeah,
that was great.
Okay, then we're gonna do that order that Shane presented. We'll do Days of Future Past. We'll do Logan. Then we will do both the Deadpool films. And I will make you guys for the... Let me look at this really quick, just for reference.
Also, Robert, my laptop is trying to connect to your Bluetooth headphones again.
Is it? That's funny. Is it connected to my phone right now? It's not even on, dude. My headphones aren't even on. How is that happening?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's weird. All right, let me quickly, before we go, let me look at what episodes of X-Men 97 we're going to do. I really want to talk about X-Men 97, so we'll do it as like kind of a sidebar. We're going to do, let's do the first 3 episodes of X-Men 97. To Me, My X-Men, Mutant Liberation Begins, and Fire Made Flesh. I think those 3 are the perfect kind of...
Okay.
So that's what we're doing. So perfect. We got it all set. So X-Men Days of Future Past next week. With that, talk to you guys next week at some point. For Brandon, for Shane, we'll see you all next week. Thank you guys for a great show, as always.
Thank you, and happy birthday to Robert tomorrow, on the East Coast, as of recording.
Yeah,
on the East Coast today.
On the East Coast, it is today.
I can say happy birthday. I can say happy birthday. You guys can't. Well, Shane can't.
Thank you. I'm excited. This will come out pretty shortly after, as I'm going on a vacation to Vancouver, BC, to kind of, you know, lay back, relax for a bit before we get to the draft. But that being said, I'll make sure this gets posted at a good time for you all. Thank you guys so much. I'm really, really excited to start off year 24. The Kobe year, I guess. Thank you guys. Have a wonderful rest of your weekend, everybody. Enjoy Masters weekend. Next week, Brandon has to do his punishment. We won't spoil it, but he has to do a punishment for losing our March Madness bracket. And then him and I are currently doing a Masters fantasy challenge. Shane, you have to decide the punishment for whoever loses that.
And in typical fashion, I'm already losing.
But keep in mind, as we are speaking here on day one of the Masters, the first round hasn't ended yet. They only played like 13
games. Yeah, I know. But I'm setting myself up for failure already.
But we'll see. We have, 3 days, presumably, depending if they do go on Monday, depending on how they finish. But before we kind of announce that, we'll announce that winner next week, along with Brandon doing his punishment, which I think you're already preparing for, Brandon, but we won't spoil it. All right. Thank you guys so much. Have a wonderful rest of your weekend, and we will see you all next week. See you then.
See ya.
Yes, sir. Take care, boys.